From Radio Sausalito in beautiful Sausalito, California, I'm Mitchell Field, and you are on the field trip. Welcome to The Field Trip, a few minutes of conversation each week with some of the most interesting people in the Bay Area and Marin County. I talk to artists, writers, actors, directors, musicians, some of the characters who make the Bay Area a fun and a fabulous place to live. So let's get right to it. Today's show is the second part of my interview with Barry Spitz. Spitz is the undisputed authority on the trails of Mount Tamalpais, which we locals call Mount Tam. He's somewhat of an icon in Marin County. Aside from his Mount Tam book, he's also written 6 local history and outdoors books. He wrote a weekly column on running for the Marin Independent Journal, and he leads hikes through his own Rambling with Barry hike series. One of his books, entitled Dipsy, the Greatest Race, is about the oldest cross-country race in the United States, the famous Dipsy Race, for which, for the past 30 years, he's been the finish line announcer. If you missed the first part of my interview with Barry Spitz and you'd like to get up to speed, you can listen by going to the archive at radiosausalito.org, click on The Field Trip, and you'll find the first part of my interview right there. So I hope you'll enjoy the second part of this interview with Barry Spitz. When we left off, he was talking about previous winners of the Dipsy Race.
The fellow who won the year before, Hans Schmidt, won at age 72. When there's no other race that you could win at 72. You can win your division, but he won outright.
There's a handicap system in place, right, that allows older and younger runners and first-time runners and past winners.
Well, let me clarify that. Yes, there is a head start system, and it's been refined by this mathematician, Jim Weil, MIT-trained mathematician, does a great job. But until 1965, all the head starts were assigned individually. They knew all the runners, there weren't that many, and they evaluated you and gave you a head start. And literally then, anyone in the race could win. Anyone felt they could win. But as the running boom happened in the mid-60s and the number of entrants went from under 100 to 2,000, they couldn't do that anymore. So the head starts were strictly by age, and then when women were allowed in 1971, by age and gender. So not everyone has a chance of winning anymore. You have to be the best in your age group. You have to be a national class age group runner to win. So the number of people that go to the starting line now with it thinking they can win is maybe 10, sometimes fewer, sometimes a little more. So yes, it can make a winner out of any age group, but you have to be a national class runner in that age group. Do you follow that? That's tricky, and not everyone grasps it. But that was a fundamental change that happened in 1965. When you went from everyone having a chance to a smaller number having a chance.
Well, incredibly, you've been 30 years working on the race, but you've never actually run it yourself.
Right. This was my 32nd year as the finish line announcer. I love to run uphill, but I'm very timid going down, and the Dipsy has some of the most treacherous downhills. So I can't say as I terribly miss that. I also watch the number of injuries. At least a quarter of the people come in with some sign that they've fallen or something's happened to them. So can't say as I miss it, but I have run the more peaceful double Dipsy, quadruple Dipsy. I did 3 times, that's 4 crossings. I've run that 3 years. There's a race called the practice Dipsy that's a lot more peaceful. So I'm out there. I do run the Dipsy Trail, but I don't terribly miss getting pushed in Steep Ravine, and so I'm happy doing what I do on the race. Maybe someday, though.
Are you still leading your hikes?
I do. That gives me great joy. We're having a 20th anniversary gathering at Lake Lagunitas this year. Those are just very, very special to me. The groups have bonded, and they look after one another, and that some of these people say it's their favorite part of their week or their highlight, it makes me very happy.
Now, is that by invitation, or can anybody come along?
That is, you don't have to, but it's always worked by just recommendation, because I want to make sure people are fit enough to go on the hikes, and so I kind of keep it, when somebody says, I have a good friend who's ready for it, sure, but I don't advertise them, but I wouldn't mind adding a day. Maybe we'll open it up a little bit more, but my Wednesday and Friday groups have been that way for 20 years. It's worked out nicely.
So I understand that you've actually got a new book ready to go.
Yes, just came out for the 100th anniversary of the Tamalpais Conservation Club, which published it. It's called To Save a Mountain, and it's the story of why Mount Tamalpais is the public land that it is now. The individual heroes, the groups that fought for it, because no part of Mount Tamalpais was publicly owned in 1900 at the start of the 20th century, and by the end of the century, all of it was publicly owned parkland. And so I tell that story, and it's a wonderful story. The state park, the water district, the GGNRA, the Marin County Open Space District, all there on Mount Tam. And so that's my newest book, To Save a Mountain.
And I'm assuming all your books are available at Amazon and all the usual...
Yes, that one is the new era, definitely available even on digital form from Amazon. So I'm entering the new world of publishing.
Good for you. Well, you were going to say earlier, you were mentioning that something had happened a couple of hours ago that was particularly important to you.
Well, I did tell you that this Marie Manns, who introduced me to the wonderful world of the outdoors... She's 92 now and living in Oregon, and we were going to visit her in 2 weeks. It's a little maudlin. I was hesitant to bring it up, but it's just too important. And I just called her, and she said I knew she had suffered a brain tumor, a seizure. And at 92, she's decided that in Oregon they have the Dying with Dignity Act, the only state, I believe. And she has said that next week... she is going to move on, and it was very powerful. It's the right thing. She's changed a lot of people's lives, and I was one of them. And I won't get to see her anymore, but I get to talk about it here, and I'm very glad that happened. So thank you, Marie.
Well, if you're a local or a tourist to Marin County, and you're a hiker, a biker, a runner, a horse rider, a camper, if you like to fish, or if you're interested in nature study, you can't do better than Barry Spitt's book, Tamalpais Trails. And his new book, Dipsy, The Greatest Race, is likewise a wonderful read, full of great stories and colorful characters, as indeed is Barry Spitz himself. So, Barry, continued success to you, and thanks for taking us on a field trip today.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for those kind words.
That's Barry Spitz, everyone. Well, thanks for joining me today on The Field Trip. I welcome your views and comments on the show, as well as your suggestions for future guests. My email address is mitchellfield@radiosausalito.org. The theme music you hear behind me is the tune Superjet, with the fabulous Marin sax man Noel Jukes up front. It's from the recording The Noel Jukes Quartet featuring Matt Clark. Please remember that The Field Trip can be heard Wednesdays at the top of every hour at 1610 on your AM radio dial in Southern Marin, countywide on Wednesdays at noon on cable channel 26, anytime on your computer at radiosausalito.org, and 24 hours a day as a free podcast from the iTunes Store. If you liked today's show, please tell your friends, and if you didn't, well, please tell your enemies. So till next time, this is Mitchell Field saying goodbye, good luck, and see you next week.